Part two of our day is going to be focusing basically a crash course in kind of basically your steps in the federal aid process, starting from environmental, ending in and close out in invoicing. And I did want to make a mention that we are actually audio recording this, so in case there was something from the morning session or the afternoon session that you wanted to go back and re-listen to or have some of your staff listen to, we'll make that link available a little bit later. So just want to make a plug for that. So without further ado, I'll turn it over to Tom Holstein with Caltrans.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back for the afternoon session. Just before I started, I just wanted to make one announcement. On your agenda, it does actually have DBE listed as part of my item. For those of you who know me will realize I know nothing about DBE. If you have any DBE questions, I suggest you direct them to Hin Kung, and he will help you with any DBE questions. What I want to focus on is environmental. My name is Tom Holstein. I'm the environmental branch chief here in District 4 Caltrans Local Assistance. Our team within District 4 Local Assistance, as was mentioned this morning, we've got six environmental planners. Hugo, Dan, and Tara are your main points of contact, depending on which county that you reside in and your project is located in. We also have Kelly and Kevin, our archaeologist and biologist, respectively. Jose Reyes, his name came up earlier this morning. He's in the environmental team as well, helping with the program. And we also have Hyan, who we share with District 10, to act as our NEPA assignment support as well. She works mainly behind the scenes. So, just as a refresher, when do you need NEPA? And the answer is whenever you have any kind of federal funding on your project. Through FHWA, you will come through us. It doesn't matter if it's a non-infrastructure or an infrastructure project. It doesn't matter if your federal funding is in PE or the construction phase. You still need a NEPA clearance. So anytime there is federal funding on the project, you need NEPA. There are some funding programs nowadays. ATP is one, which may have state funding only. For those specific circumstances, you would not need NEPA. That would just be a CEQA, which you would handle on your own. So again, and I'm not going to go into detail about the whole NEPA process that we have here in Caltrans Local Assistance, but just as a refresher, particularly for those who are new to the process, this is how you get started. You would need to send in a field review package to Jose Reyes, our program support, and it's going to consist of a few items which are there that are all available through our local assistance procedures manual and the website. You may have consultants helping you with this, but what we do ask is the request does come from the local agency, so we know it's your project. So that's why we ask for a cover letter from the local agency. So send it in to Jose Reyes. If you have any questions about the requirements, then Jose can deal with those. Your starting point is when your project is in the FTIP. What I wanted to cover, instead of going through the kind of process that we've dealt at these spot trainings in the last few years, is actually to give you a bit more of an insight about what's happening in NEPA generally. And it's enabled us to start some initiatives going. There's a bit of a momentum going in NEPA assignment at the moment. There's quite a lot of fluidity and change. And I'm not going to try and get into the backstory of why this is happening, because that would take all afternoon. But there's some statewide initiatives that are going on, and there's some local initiatives which we can roll out now. So since 2007 is when NEPA assignment started. So that's when Caltrans was able to sign NEPA documents on our own. Before that, we did the NEPA, and then we had to pass it to FHWA, and they had to sign it. So NEPA assignment removed FHWA from the federal environmental process in California. And since then, there's been a lot of ups and downs about how we deal with NEPA. But we, in District 4 Local Assistance, have tried to keep you a little bit distant from that and try to keep our requirements to you consistent. So if you came to us with a project 6, 7, or 8 years ago, we would ask you for studies. It would be pretty similar to how we did it 1 year ago. So we're looking to see if we can shake this up a bit to improve the process for the benefits of the project delivery. So there's a couple of statewide initiatives going on. The first is a joint capital and local assistance initiative, which is looking at the NEPA process and how Caltrans does it. So we can't change the federal law. That's beyond even my ability to. But we can change the Caltrans process of dealing with that. And so that's what that initiative is looking at. It's just started with a brainstorming session. And the idea is by the end of the financial year, so by June next year, we will hopefully have identified some improvements. The second statewide initiative is a local assistance initiative, which FHWA have this term about risk-based stewardship and oversight. And it's looking at projects and delivery from a risk-based perspective. And so again, if we look at it from a risk-based perspective, maybe there are efficiencies that we can implement there. So with all this momentum happening at the statewide level, we looked at our own District 4 processes and thought, well, what can we change now to help your lives a little bit easier? And these are the two things that we've come up with. And so I'm just going to spend a bit of time going through each of these. It's going to be what we call a soft rollout. In other words, we're not asking you to leave this room and disseminate the information and make changes at the local agency level. What will happen is as you come in for field reviews and as you deal with the environmental planners, they will tell you the revised procedures. And we will pilot them and we will work with them to see how they work and adapt them as necessary. So the first one is talking about mitigation instead of using technical memorandum or memoranda, to use the Latin. The Local Assistance Procedures Manual, which is our guidance document, has this statement in there that the local agency is responsible for developing a list of all mitigation as related to NEPA and providing it along with the technical reports and draft environmental document to us. We've never asked that from local agencies in District 4. The process that we have is after the field review, we send you a letter saying, here are the technical studies that you need to produce. So this is a letter that we sent to Pleasant Hill earlier this year, and you'll see in the middle of it that it's got six studies that we'd asked for. So you would then go ahead and do those studies either by yourselves or with consultants. And after review, we would approve them, and then we would issue you with your NEPA categorical exclusion. I'm focusing on the categorical exclusions in this presentation because it's about 98% of all the environmental work that we do. We don't get involved too much in EAs and EISs, we're focusing on categorical exclusions. So we would give you that, and a few years ago, this is what your NEPA CE looked like. I mentioned there were some ups and downs in NEPA assignments. So one of the downs or ups, whichever way you look at it, was that we got audited, and they said, well, why are you not included? We got audited by Caltrans internal audit. And they said, well, why are you not including your commitments on your NEPA CE, which is a requirement according to the form? So in the last couple of years, you may have seen CEs coming to you with a second page. And this page has been produced internally within Caltrans by our environmental planners. So what they've done is they've taken those technical studies that you've given us and summarized the commitments that are inherent in those technical studies. And then they produce the second page on the CE. So it's not giving you any information that you have not given back to us. But what that's enabled us to do is collect data about the kind of commitments and the mitigation that the local agencies in District 4 are actually using. And so with that, what we can develop is what we call a standard table of mitigation commitments. And so we can actually roll out practice from Friday, actually we called it, where instead of asking for the technical memos that we listed on that original letter, we can just ask you whether you want to use these standard mitigation using the list of standard mitigations that will be discussed with you at the field view. And if you do, then there won't be a need to submit the technical memo. You can change the wording of those standard mitigations to suit your own needs. They're still your project. You can deviate as much as you like. It's just if you deviate too far, then we might need to go back to the technical memo. So it's a starting point. And so what will happen at the field reviews, and our first field review that we're going to start this on is on Friday. So I don't know if San Leandro are in the audience, but that will be our first one that we're going to try this out on. Take the table with you, to you, and then we'll discuss it with you. And like I say, if you can commit to some of these standard mitigations, then we can actually miss out the intervening step of the technical memos. And so what will happen, going back to the letter from Pleasant Hill, is, or letter to Pleasant Hill, I should say, is instead of having these six studies in the middle, five of them are going to disappear. And so you're going to get a letter that looks a bit more like this, which will reference the standard mitigation table. And it'll be distributed to you in Word format. All you have to do is cut and paste and send it back to us, and we will attach that to the back of the CE. Sounds very simple. We'll see how it works in practice. What I would say is that if you have a more complicated project, however, it's not going to solve your difficulties with the more complex studies. So this is an example from here in Oakland of a seismic retrofit project where it was on a historic bridge where there were biology studies, there were cultural studies, lots more complicated studies. For those kind of studies, you will still have to go through the standard process. Maybe some of the statewide initiatives that we were talking about earlier will help with that. But what this is aimed at is actually just focusing on the more simpler projects and seeing if we can provide a mechanism for you to have less paperwork and us process less paperwork with those. So that was the process improvement number one. The second improvement is to do with electronic filing and submission. So someone earlier this morning was talking about our proximity to Silicon Valley. I don't think Caltrans has made much progress with that proximity. I think we are finally moving into the 21st century is how I would call it with this kind of action. In the past, since NEPA assignment in 2007, we've kept both a paper and electronic file. And the reason, again, that we've had to do that is for audit purposes, initially from FHWA and latterly from Caltrans monitoring. That requirement has been softened So since we've already kept both processes, we can now immediately revert to the electronic filing system. So at the moment, what happens is that you submit your studies electronically, and then we ask for you to send a follow-up with a hard copy. So what we can now do is, by just having the electronic file, is that you can submit all your studies electronically, and we're not going to be asking you for the hard copy follow-up anymore. We have tended to send the PES form, the preliminary environmental study form, out to you in paper. That's only going to come to you electronically. So we're trying to keep as much of our correspondence and communications electronic. There are, of course, a few exceptions that we still have to do. When you submit the PES form, as I said at the start of this presentation, we need the two hard copies. The reason for that is that the PES form will be distributed to the local assistance engineer and the local assistance environmental planner, and they will bring that to the field review to go through with you. So if you didn't send us the hard copy, we just have to print it ourselves. So that requirement is still there. The categorical exclusion we produce in-house. So that, again, that's not something that's going to be a requirement on you for a hard copy, but it's still going to be on us. Although we at Caltrans may be moving to the 21st century, we still have dealings with some of our regulatory partners who are not quite there yet. So if you have to have projects that require a biological opinion or a letter of concurrence from US Fish and Wildlife or National Marine Fisheries Service, or if we have to submit anything to the State Historic Preservation Office, we still need the hard copies. Similarly, most of our reviewers within Caltrans can now review electronically, but every so often it is easier to read the hard copy. So every now and then we may ask for a hard copy of any kind of larger reports or anything like that. But we will try to keep that to a minimum. So those are the two things that I said. It's going to be a soft rollout. We're going to try, firstly, with San Leandro this Friday, and for field reviews after that, see how this mitigation tool works, adapt it as necessary. With the regard to the electronics, that will come through to you and all your project engineers. Like I said, you'll submit the drafts first, and from now on, we just won't ask you for the final electronic version. So those were the two updates that we have here in District 4, plus I give you an overview of what's happening statewide. I think we're going to do questions. We'll do the environmental questions now, and then we'll do questions for the other presenters after. So, any questions? All straightforward.